and they don't have as much mites.
No, it's not mites.
Not
it's
the mites.
The scale, the dander, the skin flaking.
Wow.
So because of the kind of covering they have, it's a different issue. They don't like to have the saliva and the skin
flaking. Don't worry, you'll never meet my dog.
All right.
You're lost.
You may have thought we were on the Animal Channel, but
we're at Nancy's house.
We're at Nancy's house, and the film we're discussing is Quinceanera.
Present are
Rodolfo, Jorge,
Nancy.
Sandy,
Leonor,
Ellen,
Terry,
Mark,
Maria.
It's the same group in translation.
Yeah. All I could think of for me was Sandia.
Sangria. What would I say? I know how to say it in French.
Elena.
Elena.
She goes,
I didn't know.
I didn't know.
Probably Alejandra. What's the diminutive of Alejandra?
Alex.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, so here we are. So I didn't see it again. I only saw it.
Oh, you saw it at Sundance.
Sundance. That was January.
And you first recommended it.
Yes. And I was thrilled.
What film is this?
Quinceanera.
Have you seen it?
Standard. Glasses.
That's coincidence. It's the one we're talking about.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh. So tell who saw it already. Who didn't see it? Anybody not see it?
Everybody saw it. Good.
We all saw it.
How about that?
Okay.
So we were starting to talk about
how
it
was
in the
reception
con-
of.
Well, it was, at it was a hit. It got the audience award. It got the judges award for fiction film. It was, and we had bought tickets in the second half of the program of the festival, so it meant we had the second 5 days, and we had arranged to see it ahead because, you know, in one of its regular slots because my mother recommended it because she knows one of the filmmakers. He's a bridge player in Los Angeles with her. And then when it won, and we had also arranged to get audience award tickets and also Best Picture Award tickets. And it got both of those, so we didn't see it like three times, but we had good tickets that we could swap out for other things.
So you're mentioning it was one of the gay guys?
One of the gay guys, yeah, Richard.
The mother, what?
No, my mother
knows him from Bridge.
Her
mother
knows one of the gay guys.
Okay, so what about the film?
Now, and she also knows one of the players because, and that was part of why we had to see it, right? Because this is a woman in the neighborhood, and they shot in the neighborhood. And that was one of the.
She lived in Echo Park.
Not my mother, but her friend, who also was a bridge player.
Mm-hmm.
Lives in Echo Park, right?
So what's the film?
So one of the things that, what we were talking about over lunch was that I just finished taking a class at Film Arts Foundation and in producing media for social change, and the teacher, Anna Moorbach, is doing this, is hired to do this study to figure out how to change attitudes about gay people. And one of the things that he found in the study is that among young Latinos, young immigrant Latinos, they're not homophobic because it's, what did you call it?
It's assimilation signal, right? That you aren't homophobic even though you come from a Latino family. No, that's this guy, Adams.
That's his idea that she coined it.
Yeah, my verbalization of the principle that Sandy.
I can attest to that.
To look like an American.
I can attest to that.
Yeah, tell
in
us.
My groups and my students, all immigrants, what's his name in the film? Whatever his name is, the boy, the
Carlos.
There are Carloses there, and they're not beat up upon as they would be in Mexico, or looked down.
That is interesting.
They're accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Are they very out? Interesting point.
Are they out though?
They're way out.
Carlos wasn't out.
San Francisco.
San Francisco, especially.
Yeah, because they want to be
national. The research was national.
I'm still not clear as to why.
Why what?
They want to assimilate.
They want to be considered American.
They want to
Who wants to be considered American?
Like the
people who might be home, the
No, the others.
Yeah.
All young Latin immigrants. Because it's because
Latin
it's
teenagers.
You know, it's like American. You get an iPod, you
get the right
get
shoes,
the right tennis shoes. You,
you're not old school. You're not like Mexico. You're
right,
not,
and you're not homophobic. And that means that you're American. Yeah.
So, so it's kind of a status to be non-homophobic, or to be gay. Or to be gay.
It's American.
Maybe.
Maybe not gay. Not to be gay, but to be accepting,
tolerant of gays.
Okay.
It's not that it's status. It's just.
Yeah, it makes you just part of being more assimilated.
Yeah. Assimilated. And so. So then the reason that we started talking about quinceañera before we were supposed to was because of that, because it definitely is related to the film. And, you know, the sister is accepting, and the grandfather is such a wonderful character.
The grandmother, great character.
Great uncle.
He was actually in the Wild Bunch.
Uh-huh. Oh, right. That's his history, is that he was in the Wild Bunch.
Did you hear what Ripley said about... Would you repeat that statement?
Yeah, repeat it, Nancy, the way that you said it.
I'm interpreting something.
Whatever it was that you said, the way you said it was very clear.
And the idea is that
late teenagers and young adult Latin
immigrants,
not born in the U.S., but Latin immigrants, being not homophobic, being accepting of gays, is a symbol of your acculturation to the U.S., assimilation to the U.S.
It's a way to become American.
It's a way to show off that you are American, as opposed to...
I hope that's true.
I know, I would love it. Yeah, I'd love it to you, Joe.
It makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Could you say that there was a study that found that?
Yeah, this is this guy Adam, what's his last name?
Adam Warbach.
Accepting
in Mexico is not...
Okay, let's get to the movie, folks.
Yeah.
We're not talking about the movie.
I think the most interesting thing about this film is the way it was handled, the way this really hard gangster guy's experience, whether he came out or not, the way it was accepted both and presented in the film. I thought that was just so totally amazing. I mean, it had none of the stereotypes of any other film I've ever seen about a guy on the edge of coming out or not coming out. And the way it was handled by his family, the sister, and the way it was handled by him, just so unlike anything I'd ever seen before. And at first I'm thinking, I don't believe it. You know, it's just so off. So I can't. You know, it's like some films where you can't see the guy's motivation or can't see the woman's motivation to be this kind of person at this kind of point or situation in the story. But I had the hardest time figuring out how this film could present it in a way that just doesn't give any support to it, and yet. By the end of the film, it was real to me, and it seemed genuine to me, and I accepted the fact that this gangster guy had, you know, another life, and his sister accepted without even questioning. There was no discussion.
Yeah, the sister is
cousin. That's the other interesting thing is his family is family.
His own family did.
Once a brother and sister.
No. He's from the poor family, and he's from the wealthier.
Oh, that's right. He came to see
the opening.
When he comes with that flower, it's his sister, and that's all.
Right. To drive him out because he's a gangster.
So he's,
but not because he's gay. Nobody.
So he's the son of the rich
wealthier
woman.
Yes.
The woman with the eyes.
Yeah. The one who fixes over the dress.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he was a gangster.
There's no question about it.
He had the tattoos. He had stolen.
Did he have a prison record?
Yeah, they kind of implied that he might have.
way, a gangster doesn't always have a prison record.
He, you know, it was horrible enough that he had been banned from the
family. The mother didn't want him to see at that party. He was at least a juvenile delinquent.
A juvenile delinquent?
He wore the uniform.
Gangster? I don't know.
He wore the uniform.
Oh, he had the,
Well,
and he had the tattoos.
He had
Lenore. And then later on, he's
Lenore wants
Echo,
a mic.
Echo Park.
Where's the spoon? Here, take the magazine.
Early on, after the girl moves in with the uncle and Carla.
That please.
There's a scene after the, what's her name?
Magdalena.
After Magdalena moves in with her great uncle and cousin, where they have they're having tiffs. You know, they're having all these little conflicts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he says something about getting thrown out of the party or something, and she says, "That's because you're a criminal and you steal, you lie, and you're a gay."
Right. Mm.
So she does list that as one of the marks against him. But it's also one of the marks against him.
Well, I don't think she meant that. I don't think she was kidding the whole time.
I think she's
maybe
kidding.
She was,
it's that
but
kind
I
of
still
teaser.
Think she still says that.
I don't think she was kidding about his being a thief and a liar.
No, but throw in the gay thing.
But she was. I think she was saying in reference to why don't they accept me or why won't they trust me or something like that. This conversation was why won't they trust you? And she said, oh, because you're a criminal, da da da, and because you lie, da da.
And you're a gay.
But it's that kind of sister, brother,
it could have been that his mother was so angry at him and didn't want him to be part of the family because he was gay.
Right, but that's never implied.
I don't think the family ever had any idea of it. I think it was about his, you know, gang affiliation.
Oh yeah, because it was his first time.
Gang affiliation. I don't get this.
Please. Gang affiliation means that you have a 13 written on your neck.
Right.
13 is
neck.
Gang, is gangster, is gang.
Right.
The mission, you missed that, but that's in the mission.
Okay,
district.
But it's not implied. I mean,
it's
not,
gang.
It's not stated in the film.
I thought it was.
It is 13.
Parents knew that he was
213.
213 is the area code for Los Angeles.
That doesn't mean that. No,
that's the original extent of that.
But it's closer to the Echo Park.
I deal with graffiti every day at school.
Yeah.
And the 13 is involved.
Okay, so he's
that
a gang.
Not, he's a gang.
Not 213, but 313, not 213.
He's saying both.
It was 213.
Correct.
I thought it was 0-2.
I mean, I've been taking pictures of people at the movie houses now, and I see all these young men with tattoos on their neck. Daly City, South City.
Right.
You know.
Hmm.
South San Francisco, whatever.
Okay, so he's in a gang.
I thought that was pretty clear.
Okay. Well, there's several things in his, several scenes in his film where there was shorthand, and you had to be paying really close attention to see it. This I didn't think this was that unobvious. I mean, he's flashing gang signs, he's stealing roses, he's got the gang attire. I didn't think that was obvious. But there were other things, too, I didn't think that was that subtle. But there are some other subtle things that were in the film, like when there's one scene where Magdalena's mother is selling food out of her house, the door of her house. The scene right after that, there's the scene of the church where Magdalena's father is
preacher,
and there's five people in the congregation, okay, not including the family. So that's shorthand for saying, yes, he is a preacher, but the church isn't, you know, really a big church like other people might think of a preacher at a church, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the scene right after that is a scene with him in his security guard uniform going off to work. So it says, and he does this for his real job. He actually
and he does this for money, but his real identity is
right. Okay, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
there's all these shorthand things, and for me, that's okay if you catch them. But if you don't, you're missing some setup.
Do you think there was too much of that?
Well, I thought those things were a little bit too obvious, and they went by real quick. Like, and they all happened one right after another. It was sequential, those three shots, and all happened. And if you were like daydreaming or paying attention to the other, these weren't really
which
major
I was.
Scenes.
So which would have been
you were?
Ellen missed the whole thing. So what would have been touched?
There's one shot where Magdalena's mother is dealing food out of her front door or back door. That shot was like for 3 or 4 seconds. The next shot is a scene from the
five people in right.
Harry, and the next shot is him in a security guard uniform.
Right.
So all that happened within 30 seconds.
But that's a really interesting sequence. It's just
I know, but if you weren't paying attention, all of that went by, and then you missed some information about where these people were coming
from. But I think that wasn't the only time that you knew where they were coming from. From the first party, you knew the whole pecking order of, you know, that they were the wealthy family, and then they had the cousin who wasn't as wealthy, and who was going to sponsor, and who was going to padrino, and you know, who, I mean, it was
fixed.
I thought that was, yeah, and then, you know, oh, we'll remake the dress for you, and she was looking with envy at the limousine, and so I think that wasn't the only time. I mean, I thought it was.
Very clear.
I thought everything was very clear.
What did you say?
I thought their class.
That was all.
Clear.
Yeah, that was very clear. The whole class.
I really enjoyed this film quite a bit. There were two things I kind of questioned. It's very minute. One was when they were at Quinceañera at the beginning, and the young people were all dancing, and they were getting pretty nasty dancing.
They were.
I just couldn't believe that the traditional family would allow that to go on.
Has anybody been to one in LA lately?
I've never been.
I've been to parties. What's it called? The dance at the end of the prom.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. The mission prom.
We went together to the prom. The mission
parents
prom.
Were not there.
The parents, some parents. Well, no, but they do that in public. They. The style of dancing is backing up
That's very big at the
We call this freaking.
But this is at a quinceañera where everybody's family is present.
They're in America now.
I found that shocking. I really did. And I just found it hard. No, I'm not against that. I just thought it was shocking.
But I think, according to my personal view, this is traditional, but they were not, they were like first generation, because most of the parents, they speak English. So that to me, that
already.
Makes, already. So to me, that makes the difference. So they were more acculturated. Yes, they were more, they were not like non-speaking. And then I thought of that too, but I think it's part of it. You know, they might say it was,
they were raising eyebrows,
right.
A little bit.
Yeah, especially the older
ones.
Yeah. So I thought that was real.
So what are we making a judgment about there?
No, I'm just saying it's something I question. I mean, how could these kids get away with that without the parents or the grandparents or whoever was there at the quinceañera not saying anything?
I think that Fatima is right. The grandparents were saying things about the way the kids were acting, but it's like Elvis Presley, you know, you can't do anything about it.
But also remember, this was the family that was more wealthy and that was also kind of showing off, I think, that they were more acculturated with the Hummer limo. Right, that's not traditional in Mexico. They have a Hummer limo.
The thing about language that kind of put me off at first was that everybody was speaking in English at first, and I thought that's not really genuine. And I expected, especially the older people, the older generation, especially the uncle.
The great uncle.
Great uncle would be speaking Spanish, and I had a kind of a real problem with that.
That's true.
And then they slowly worked in the dialogue Spanish with subtitles. Like, I can remember the first scene where they had both languages, like when the mother was talking with Magdalena about the Hummer in her room or something like that, they switched between English and Spanish. And after a while, I became okay with it. But I really kind of felt that this film should have been, I felt, to be genuine, it should have been more of the older people, especially the older people, speaking in Spanish. But on the other hand, number one, it wouldn't reach the greatest audience in America, but on the other hand, maybe that's part of the story, and maybe that's subtle for saying they've been here for a while, and that, you know, they're acculturated.
I mean, they've been living renting in that neighborhood for 20-something years.
Right.
Yeah. How long did the uncle live in that apartment?
Right. 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 Yeah. But still, you know, I know my kids in my school. They're still speaking Chinese and Vietnamese with their parents, and their parents have lived here all their life, and they're still speaking Chinese and Vietnamese within their community.
Yeah.
You know, and it's okay, and it's you know, it's their preferred language in their community, and so that's what first struck me as not being genuine about this film. But on the other hand, I got used to it, and I accepted it by the end, because there's so many other things that was just so shocking about this film. So
I had some of the same stuff with the older characters, and particularly the great uncle. And I guess one of my points of reference is that one author you had in, John Rodriguez, that book, that
Richard.
Author, Brown.
Richard Rodriguez.
Richard, yeah. because he talks about, you know, assimilating and language, and what I remember him saying was that Spanish was the language of the home and of the heart. So that's, again, where I have some of the same reaction that Mark did. That, okay, the Spanish-speaking neighborhood, the guy doesn't go out and work anywhere else where he's going to have to speak English. I mean, he's, you know, selling food on the street to other Spanish-speaking people. I don't understand him speaking English in the home.
Well, I think Mark said that it really facilitates for the general audience.
Okay.
I thought it was a choice among the filmmakers to make it to ease into English language. Mm-hmm. It started out with subtitles, mm-hmm. and then as it got to a certain point, then there were no subtitles. It was all in English, mm-hmm. and I thought it was pretty smooth transition for making that decision. Mm-hmm. I mean, as it is, it's called Quinceañera, and so that's going to be off-putting for an English-speaking audience. In the first place, I'm not sure that I would have made that decision, but I think that it happened because of getting a wider audience or an English-speaking audience. Yes, George.
Which brings me back to why we started our conversation at the other table. Quinceañera, the title. I'm thinking Latin families are going to see this title and go,
let's go see this movie.
This will be cute. Well, they get there and find out that the girl's pregnant. She's got a gay cousin.
Right. But it's a birthday pregnancy.
This is what
they possibly queer great uncle.
And I'm wondering if it's kind of a, if people are showing up, if Latin families might show up and see this movie, thinking it was something else, mm-hmm. because it's just titled Quinceañera.
Well, it has a rating, so.
And it just amazes me that people go to the theater and look at the titles and say, oh, well, yeah, let's go see that. We have no concept of what the film is about.
Mm-hmm.
That's just
floors. Well, maybe that's a manipulation.
Well,
maybe.
It is.
It is what?
A manipulation.
Yeah.
A reaction I got from a person I live with. What did you say? I said, let's go to a movie. Let's go to a movie. Quinceañera. I don't want to see that. But go.
No.
Why not?
I was biased because, I don't know if I used the right word. Biased?
Yeah.
Prejudice? No.
Yeah? Yeah.
It's because, okay, even though it's very traditional, you know, but at the same time, it became classist.
Because,
like, in upper-level society of Mexico, they are not. It's not a big deal. So, right now, they just travel to Europe or other...
Instead of having a party.
Like that. Yes, yes.
Get a new car, whatever.
Yes, uh-huh. So, I mean, they might have a party, but it's not like death of life or like everything.
A matter of life.
A matter of life and death.
I mean,
like the whole family is involved.
Okay, but it's alive and well in San Francisco. And
yes,
it's alive and well in Los Angeles. Yeah, very much.
Yes, but let me put my point and my point of view.
Please.
It's because it's class. Okay, so all the people that come here, most of the people that come here, they're very, you know, uneducated people. Their only goal is the Quinceañera thing. They have ways they go and celebrate it in Mexico or whatever, or they do it here. So that's the transfer. Okay. So when he invited me to go, I said, no, I don't want to go there to see that shit. I don't want
to.
So I went. Yes.
What?
Yes. You want to see those low-class people?
Yes, I didn't want to go. Yes.
And did you change your mind after?
Well, I like this story because it has, you know, it was not just the, you know, the common thing. Yeah. It had something. You know, I was surprised by the gay part, and so it was well handled. So I just want to, you know, to be aware that not in Mexico, everybody is doing that. Okay, only certain, they're still doing, but a certain level of the society, they're crazy about it. But other level, they get a car, travel, or whatever.
Randy, and I'm next.
Okay.
Well, I wanted to change the subject a little bit on this and ask what you thought about the virgin birth.
I mean, I thought that was the most interesting thing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, especially because, you know, the father's it's hard to believe,
speak up
right?
A little bit.
Yeah. I thought that was the most
very
interesting
hard
thing
to believe.
About the film, but you believe it once you see the two kids talking to each other and they're both saying, well, how could this happen?
Well, and the doctor says it.
Yeah. Later. But you believe, you know, you, at first you don't think it's possible until the kids are talking about it, so. Okay, so you're up, Rudy.
Premature.
Well, I want to say, I just want to say the icon.
Yeah.
The iconography, you know, like even Magdalena, her name.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So to me, everything started falling in places. Mm-hmm. Even though they were kidding, right? The couple, and our baby is going to be Jesus.
Right.
There's a certain writer that some people here might know, José Saramago. He's Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
You know him?
Yeah, you've mentioned him, I think. Mm-hmm.
Well, he has a book called The Gospel According to Jesus Christ that Fatima hates, that I read it.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a premature ejaculator. So he never penetrated Mary.
Joseph. Oh, that was Joseph's issue. How do they know that?
According to the...
It's a novel.
Okay, it's a novel.
So, Joseph's doctor has...
So...
It's a theory. It's a hypothesis.
It's an interesting hypothesis.
Hypotenuse,
yeah.
So that would go along with what happened in the movie.
It's just a...
Yeah, George.
I just have a question. Did you have a quinceañera?
No, but I see.
But I'm not. Well, just a small thing, a small celebration.
Yeah,
like
a birthday celebration.
Home, like a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Like a birthday
and
church. Because but church, like just I'm a twin. I have a twin brother, so we just. My twin brother and myself, and you know,
another
celebration that I attended, a 15-year-old girl's birthday, and this is in a very high society type of family. She said, I want my last piñata, and that's all she had. A piñata, that was it.
Her last piñata.
Her last
goodbye to childhood.
Said. That's
right,
what she
that
said.
Was her
yeah.
goodbye to
I think it's interesting because I think it's actually something that's really, really missing in U.S. society is any kind of rite of passage.
Traditional.
You know, however, it's something that the culture is like now recognizes.
My brother and sister-in-law just went to a quinceañera in the Mission or Bayview. I don't know where it was, and the invitation said, "Don't wear red
or blue."
Colors.
Those are gang colors. Yeah.
Red or blue.
Lawyers.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, we have
I'm sorry.
But I'm going to go back to the whole iconography of the film. I think that that's the most interesting thing about it, because I think that in some way it's kind of joking. You know, it's really extremely rare to have that kind of pregnancy. And so it can't be serious, you know, and yet...
I mean, for me, I like the film. I kudos to them for trying it, but something was missing in it for me.
Hmm.
In terms of character development, I loved the uncle. I loved the implication that he may have been gay, and that he teaches everybody what love is. I don't know. Maybe it's about what would Jesus do? You know what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in
ooh,
some
Jesus
way, and that the uncle is a saint. You know, the mm-hmm. Carlos's speech
yeah.
about him at his funeral is that he's the saint-like one, even though Magdalena's father is supposed to be a preacher.
Yeah.
This acceptance. It's an attempt to be a religious tract in a way, but in a kind of stylized. It's not realistic, you know. It's not an attempt to be realistic.
I think that's a good point because we have to ask them to not believe in Jesus.
Can you
hear
you? Speak loud. Speak loud.
You know. End. Like how could you know? How could you think this kid who was you know a gang member and a juvenile delinquent that he was going to be a good father?
There wasn't enough character development. But see, I think that we were expected. One of the flaws of the film for me is that we were expected to believe that he would have that turnaround. And his speech at the funeral was very emotional. But I needed to see a lot more happen to him to be able to accept that.
Yeah.
He still had no prospects for a job.
He's shown as a gang member, so to me it's not a very big transition. It's a little thing. He's got a tattoo and he rips off some flowers.
He's never held a job.
He gets fired.
And they imply he's been fired from many other... No, he doesn't. He gets fired for scratching the car. It's implied that he's lost many other jobs because he's
gang members don't want jobs at all. Come on.
This is true.
He was.
He was able to.
George has his hand up.
Yeah.
Okay. I did not pick up that the grandfather might have been gay.
I didn't either.
There were comments of it in the reviews, but there weren't really any telltale signs in the movie.
Where was it?
They questioned him about did you ever have a girlfriend? He talks about one woman.
But he loved her. I mean, he really wanted this woman.
That's the one love of his life.
That was how many years ago?
Mark speaks next.
I missed the part where supposedly some subtle clue came about where he was supposed to be gay. But the thing about the great uncle is that there was dialogue where he was supposed to have worked in an office building, so that could be he was from an upper class or he had a business experience or he could get English there. But what was I?
The uncle?
Yeah, the uncle. But when you guys are talking about you had a hard time believing this gang member to make a change, he already was making a change even before he had this gay encounter, even before because he had a job, you know, and he was, you know, working day in and day out. Okay. So I could believe that he could make that change, and So I didn't find anything unbelievable about that.
You never see him with a gun. You never see him with a gang member.
Right. It's true. You never see him with another gang member.
He's like a gangster wannabe in a certain way.
And that could be.
Well, I don't think he was a gangster wannabe. I was totally believing that he was a scary character. And then he was scary.
That's why they kicked him out of the party.
Yeah.
He was scary. And I had some kind of transference happening there too. I had a student in my summer school class this summer who was a nice guy, intelligent, but obviously a gang member. And he scared me, and he scared everybody in that classroom. When we exchanged papers to grade homework, he would say, "Who's got my paper?" And he'd look around the room. People were quiet. Okay? People were quiet. He was a nice kid, and you could speak to him. He was intelligent, but he scared me and scared everybody in the room. And I'm glad that he eventually dropped out of summer school. Just because I could see problems happening there. But the guy in the movie looked exactly like him and talked, had a character, had a disposition exactly like him. Soft-spoken, but an underlying sense of
threat.
Okay, and the first time, that he came to the first party, and he's looking around. I'm looking at his eyes and saying, "Does he really want to be here, or is he casing the joint to rob it later?" You know, that's what I thought.
Right.
But then when he did have the affair with the guys and continued to have the affair, it's kind of like. It really threw me. But on the, I had a real hard time dealing with it. But I still think, how could I accept those two things? But I did, because of the way that character was drawn and portrayed. I accepted that he could be a gang member. He could still be a gang member, and also be exploring this gay lifestyle.
And love his uncle.
And
all of those things.
Right. And I accepted that. I didn't find it far fetched. Did you guys find
No, I think what you're saying seems to be assumption. That when I saw him walking to that party, he stole those flowers because he cared about his cousin, wanted to make an appearance and congratulate her on
his
15th birthday.
Sister.
Right. That's his sister. Yeah.
What do you mean?
The roommate is his cousin. Magdalena.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right.
That's actually his sister.
And
thank you.
I kind of have the reverse reaction, being the only gay person in my working department. All these straight guys around me, I assume, are anti-gay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my assumption. And once I get to know them and once they get to know me, it's a whole different story. So I think what you're saying is kind of based on assumption. What you assume or perceive somebody to be because of the way they look.
Well, the intention is that he's scary at the beginning, and then you as a film viewer get to know him and see that there's more to him. But he is supposed to be scary in the first scene. There's no doubt about it.
When he goes,
no, I didn't find,
I didn't
all
find
that
him scary.
Scary. I didn't find him
no,
all that. Yeah, of course.
But I thought he would do something.
In my jacket, which is
rebellious.
I thought,
the party?
Yeah, no, not the party, or later on. I thought he would do something.
But
he never did. So I think.
Well, he did the key thing. That
yeah, but to me, it was reasonable. Not in a way reasonable.
No,
the key because the guys.
Who's his lover?
The other ones.
No,
who
he's
mean,
the,
lover.
He's the lover of the lover.
Yeah. So they are the ones who put them out. So that's why it was kind of a revenge that he did.
Yeah, that's
when he did. See the car. That's the
so
way the way I saw it.
I want to say something.
Mary.
Why is nobody talking about the other vicious stereotypes in this film?
Ooh.
Because you didn't bring it up.
Here we go.
How many?
Pineapple cake, anybody?
The gay couple. I thought that was a vicious stereotype.
How so? Explain.
Really?
Explain yourself, please.
I
Mary?
Just thought...
Mocha chocolate.
I want mocha.
No, we're keeping it down at the other end of here.
Pineapple cake, Rudy.
Yes, thank you.
I just thought, I mean, one more than the other. The one of the gay couple was even worse than the other. But they just seemed really nasty.
They seemed like real people to me.
They did seem real, but I also thought that
like
it was
real people.
Yeah.
But I thought it was also a stereotype.
This
isn't
real.
Steve saw this film and
of the what do you call them? The gentrifiers. You know, the people who
the
move
gentrifiers.
Into a neighborhood. And those shots of the house at one point when they vanish, they've evicted him, and they show the shots of how perfect their house is.
Empty.
Yeah,
there's
right. Empty
there.
In a way.
Which
yeah, and they show it very empty.
Part,
but then they have the lesbian couple who's also doing it.
Yeah, the lesbian couple was seen as more positive.
They were
actually thinking of renting it to the
they finally did it.
Yeah, you kind of got that impression. I just thought that was kind of a nasty stereotype, but George, you didn't, and other friends of yours didn't. So.
Steve dislikes the film because of what you're saying.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I just like
it. I don't get it. Please.
But when they were in bed and talking. he was the
Carlo and
the guy with the beard, the one
yeah.
with the beard.
Yeah, no, he was the nicer.
Yeah.
No, he was clearly the nicer of the two. But then when it came to evicting, he was all for it.
I mean, exactly.
I don't know that he was all for it.
He says to him, it's not like I'm going to give you my relationship with you up for this kid.
He's just a kid.
He just dismissed him. And so when they were, it was a tender moment when they were together. But then when it comes down to it, you know, oh, it's just because he's out of work and he's bored. And when he goes back to, you know, he makes mommy so they can fix up their nice house and jump about the neighborhood.
Well, I was actually very impressed with all the issues this film addressed. And wasn't that a really early film for these people who made this film?
No, they have made a bunch of porn films.
Yes.
This is why they've had
make
some
their
trouble getting
that's
distribution.
That's right.
They themselves have moved to Echo Park and done this.
Right.
Well, they haven't. Yeah, they have kicked somebody out now.
And probably, yeah.
What I'm saying is, I'm very impressed with all those layers and all those issues and all those characters. I mean, it went way beyond my expectations. I was very impressed. I thought, wow. Hmm. And that they, being gay men who did precisely this, critiqued it.
Right. That's true. That makes it more interesting.
Yeah. And that, you know, they say that they got tremendous support from the neighborhood in making the film, and it sounds like they did. They cast a lot of the neighbors in there. They got to use people's places.
They cast essentially only neighbors, and then there were like these three other people who were stars.
Right.
There's
three stars, and then there's...
Who are the stars?
The guy who was the uncle, the great uncle. He was an actor and
very famous.
But that girl who played Magdalena was
Carlos is the uncle, the father, the mother, 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 the m
of a lesbian.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. The lesbian.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
The ones who were going to rent the other place to her. The ones who said
they allow her to have it.
Well, they were
and
the
who showed up.
Yeah, they're pretty minor.
They came to her quinceanera and they actually came to the funeral.
Right.
Oh, I miss that.
I missed them at the funeral, but they are at the quinceanera. So they probably did rent to them and did.
Yes, that was the shorthand.
That's right. Yeah.
The lesbians
are much more positive. I just thought it was kind of a brutal stereotype, especially the one
I
gay
thought
guy.
It was very accurate.
But it is very accurate, on the other hand. But, yeah. But I had actually forgotten that it was a gay couple that made the film.
I've had gay lawyer landlords.
Oh, yeah. worse than that, yeah.
Yeah, not super.
Hey, Mark.
I thought it was strong.
When you said shorthand, what does it mean?
I mean,
script-wise.
Sometimes when a film is presenting information, it does it in a way where it doesn't come out and actually say, and yes, the lesbian couple eventually did rent the apartment to Carlos and Magdalena.
Uh-huh.
They just show a picture of them at the wedding, which implies that there's a continuing relationship between them and Magdalena and Carlos. So that
it's a shorthand way of showing.
Shorthand means kind of like saying without saying it.
A little reference, but no talk about it.
Anyway, I thought it was a good film. My daughter loved it. She hasn't loved a film that much in a long time.
How old is she?
22. And she just thought it was fabulous. So
I'm the only one. I thought it was kind of boring.
It didn't make it for me either.
Okay.
I mean, I thought that her character, the Magdalena's character, was fantastic. I love the way she was, said to her father, you know, there is a scientific explanation. You know, and I thought the generation of her mother's generation, all the women,
she was really
fabulous. But I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Yes, Mark.
The other thing that what you just said reminded me that I was thinking about the Magdalena character is that when she finds out that her great uncle is going to lose his place, she doesn't, you know, it's not a despair. You know, in other films, I would see this, other films would take this as, oh, now Carlos is going to beat up the gay guys and get thrown in jail, or la la la, and things are going to go spiral real fast, and things are going to turn out real bad, or else they're going to turn out really good for some strange reason. But that's not what happened. She goes out
and tries
to find an apartment. You know, very empowering. Empowering.
She's very strong.
But
strong
and so different than any it. Other, you know, in other films I could see them.
Yeah.
You know, just this is the turning point in film. Da 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 da. But no, it's a logic. She just logically goes out and finds an apartment.
The way the great uncle had his place decorated.
Oh, I love it.
So fabulous.
Mm-hmm. And then they come out and say, "Oh yeah, maybe we can put a hot tub in here." How about when Herman dumps her?
Do you want a whole thing?
Yeah, they all dumped her. We don't know if it's Herman or Herman's
you would.
Mother.
There was a precursor to that. When they were in the park and they were lying on the grass, he was saying, "Oh, I really love you." And it's like, And she was, I think Magdalena actually said it that time.
Oh, but he said, "I really love you. Feel down here. Feel down
here."
I thought he was a nice guy, but he was just so young that he didn't know. And his mother could manifestate him and get him to do what.
And maybe they really did think that she had done it with somebody else, because that would be normal.
Who's going to believe in a virgin birth?
Right.
If you're the mother of the son, of course you're not going to. You're going to get your kid to go to college.
Well, the interesting
thing, I think that was a natural reaction.
They were successful in school. They were doing well in school. He was in advanced placement or maybe.
I think there might have been a class thing going on.
His mother was saying he's college bound.
Right.
You're not going to get a lights on.
Leave them all.
That's your mother's worst nightmare.
They were both saying they had never had sex, so it's reasonable to believe that somebody else.
Whoever believes the teenager says they haven't had sex. That's why I think the virgin birth thing is fascinating. Who else would attempt it in a film? Yeah, it's just so.
But it's like when she first tells him that she's pregnant, and he immediately says, "Well, who is it?"
Yeah.
Well, of course they haven't had interviews.
Yeah. Of course he would say that.
You know.
And she's so stymied by the whole thing. I mean, how could this be that the dress doesn't fit? I mean, why? I thought that was fascinating. But daring, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, for you it didn't work. The virgin birth is part
of it.
Really didn't work, yeah. But there's a little bit of a miracle. I mean, we laugh when the uncle says it's a miracle, but I think you are supposed to think it's a little bit of a miracle.
I found
that the uncle is like a saint, and that there is
the father says it's a miracle.
Right, and we laugh because he's fundamentalist or whatever. So we laugh at him saying it's a miracle, but I think in a way the movie is saying it's a miracle.
In a nice way.
I found that whole idea that it might be a virgin birth, and I was thinking about that. When I first realized that yes, they hadn't had intercourse in a number of different ways that information was presented, but I found that really interesting and similar to the scene in Crash where the Iranian guy shoots the girl.
Right.
Really miraculous.
That type of miracle
could be true. Could be a miracle. Whatever. I'll accept it. I appreciated it and I liked it.
It's a movie miracle.
Whatever. Things sometimes,
In
life, chance,
magic
whatever.
Realism. It's like magic. That's what I thought.
Right.
No, see, there were blanks in that gun.
I know, there's a miracle that there was blanks in that gun. Isn't that a miracle that there was blanks in that gun?
Yeah.
Oh,
and his daughter knew it.
Mm-hmm. Right, but I think I accept it in Crash, but I didn't accept it here.
But he wasn't shooting blank scene.
Good one.
The devil made me do it.
In fact, he said, didn't he even say, "Your my sperm must be good
swimmer"? Yes, he did.
And that's a lie.
pride. And that's that pride of a man. And all, I mean, I think all men have that.
I only came on your leg. You know, sperm don't do that. They don't go from the leg in...
I mean, why do we have to be so hung up on the medical facts?
Okay, because I think because the problem for me with the film may be a problem of tone.
Yeah.
And I think that in order to accept this the virgin birth and the Magdalena and all of the iconography, which is a great idea, that it's not, it starts out as a realistic film and it becomes something that's not as realistic, that that asks you to accept things that are not in the realm of realism. And so, and that was a little bit of a problem. And I don't know about, I wanted more development of the characters. I thought that the ending was too abrupt and that there were a lot of loose ends. I wanted to see, I don't know what, but something happened to Herman. And and I didn't, even though what you're saying is true about that any mother would try to get him out of it, it was the way that it was presented, she was a hateful person.
The mother of the boy?
But, yeah.
And I don't know if it's true that any mother would try and get it. I can remember my mother telling my brother if he ever had anybody, got anybody pregnant, left town, she's slicing down the middle with an axe. I mean, she's saying you'd be responsible. You know,
her mother said.
But then again, I do think it's so unbelievable that you know, they have never had it. Yeah.
If you believe your son, mother, would anybody believe a teenage boy?
I also can't. I found the end totally not believable.
So that bothered you too.
Unsatisfying.
Okay.
Wait.
Yes.
In Sandy's little speech there about how she...
Little?
Pardon me. No. As she's saying that, you know, at first it started out realistic and then they threw in this virgin birth thing and that she had a real problem with that. I think I've made that speech before with another film.
You have.
No,
you
seriously.
Have.
Seriously.
Mark.
Seriously.
Yes,
I have had a problem with another film, at least one other
at
film.
At least one.
And said
I
that
remember
same,
several.
Same exact thing. That it was a problem with the tone. It started out realistic and then it got da-da-da-da-da. And it may have been Crash that I was talking about. But I eventually accepted Crash for that.
For what it is.
And you know, accepted Crash is not a realistic film. It's...
Not exactly an
allegory, but it's
a real metaphorical.
Yeah,
it's not metaphorical, and it's not realistic. You know? It's shitty.
Yeah.
Well, people either love it or they hate it.
You agree?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I have a question for you guys. You are the expertise. Film.
Oh yeah.
Is there any wrong with a film that starts realistic and then smoothly has a transition to go to realistic?
Well, there's something called the 5 unities in literature that you want consistency in character. You don't want the character to do anything that if you shut up the character.
Come closer.
That's a blackboard. I'm taking notes. I'm taking notes.
Danger, yeah.
Chalk, wall.
No, I mean,
Terry's new house changing. Come closer to the microphone. Come closer to the microphone.
A certain way, then you're out of unity with that character if the character does something that's out of character. And the same thing with the character setting. Tone,
plot,
and I forgot what the fifth one was.
But hairdo.
Character.
And so if the tone suddenly changes, it's jarring.
Yeah, but you can also see that sometimes something will confound that and subvert that, and it can work also. But
yeah.
I didn't think that did. I found it.
Well, the only place where I got thrown a little was
go ahead, Lenore, finish.
I had some issue with that when the uncle died.
It was just like, I knew something had to happen with the uncle. I thought, was he going to kill himself? Is he,
I thought
know,
he did kill himself.
Happen?
Well, I think it's left open, it actually, yeah. whether he killed himself or not. Or just
but there was something
the
about the tone of how it all happened that didn't sit right with me, or the timing of it. There
I think was it was abrupt. I think there was a...
It was a little abrupt.
A little abrupt. I agree.
However, I saw him sad. He was sad.
Yeah.
Oh, very. Yeah.
Well, and
part of the
law.
Can we go back to this idea that he was maybe gay? Was it?
Nancy wants to talk.
What's it? Wasn't it just
that was very vague.
Ellen.
Very vague.
Ellen.
Nancy. Turn. I'm raising my hand, and then other people take turns because we don't have a stick. I could get a spoon if we want. Throw a beer bottle around.
How about a knife?
So Fatima said he wanted to hear what I had to say about the movie because all I kept saying was I wanted to see it. I saw it, and it's very interesting now. See, you know, talking about it essentially with a 9-month gap.
Yeah.
You know, a virgin birth,
a baby could be born.
He's with us.
Singer.
You want
coming?
So, shooting boy. So you know, for me, I like this film, and what stayed with me, I mean, you're reminding me of many parts right. that I couldn't have drawn up. What stayed with me was not the part about the virgin birth. That was sort of cute and incidental in a way. I mean, it made the thing hang together. It gave a reason to keep going on and how she was going to be. You know, it gave a way for the film to allow her father to embrace her
right,
again.
Right.
And that was a mechanism. It wasn't like, you know, there could have been something else besides the physiological, or it could have just been left as you expected that he would never take her back. You know, you wanted there to be resolution. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like it was a device.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the other part that you said, Fatima, which is what I assumed, and then you felt the need to tell us this. My assumption is that this is not a Mexican-style quinceañera.
No,
this is
an
L.A.-style quinceañera.
Yeah.
And I've seen those people out in the parks taking their pictures
right.
and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And my assumption is this is very much an immigrant experience.
Mm-hmm.
It is the potlatch. It is the both the thing about, you know, finding a way to say coming of age mm-hmm. in America, where you don't have the extended family necessarily that you expect, but you make your community or your church group or whatever it is into your extended family, your neighborhood. So that's what stayed with me was quinceañera as a hard point in time where all this emotional stuff gets gathered up.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it all got gathered up really right around the time of her quinceañera, following on her cousin's quinceañera,
bookended by the two.
Right. So, but the girls in the neighborhood taught the filmmakers what are the elements of the quinceañera.
They didn't know.
They got invited to one, and then they said, "Can we see your book of the photos?"
Right.
And then the girls came over and explained it to them. And so it was their entry into it, and it was their making of a story around it, what would be the dilemmas. Yeah, if she got pregnant, that would be pretty serious, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If one of these characters were gay, that would be serious. If there was a gangster in the family who was somehow,
mm-hmm.
you know, not fully accepted, that would be serious, you know. And what happens with as a result, mm-hmm. and the willingness of the filmmakers to examine themselves and their gentrifying efforts, you know, what is the impact on this community? So that, from my standpoint, it was successful to make the quinceañera this boundary point around which all these things were happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the degree to which any single person's story is realistic or not realistic doesn't
mm-hmm.
is not what
mm-hmm.
I'm caring about.
Right, not
mm-hmm.
what you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing I found amazing was the fact that the gay guy was a gangster member. The fact that it was portrayed in the film, I thought was pretty amazing in that that he was gay, and it just is such a contradiction to be gay and a gangster member.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
In terms of stereotypes, maybe.
Is that right?
Yeah,
but in terms of the reality.
But I thought it was handled really well in the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you'd see this guy walking down the street, you think, this guy's going to snatch my purse. You never think he's going to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was just really well done, the way he was portrayed.
Yeah.
And to be gay and in that environment, to be out as much as he was, I think it's pretty amazing.
Yep.
Pretty
pretty incredible.
And he, right. He was a good actor.
And
pull
to
it
be
all
self-accepting
off,
as he was, I thought was really a very positive thing to see.
I thought he was excellent. And I thought that moment, like, how does somebody come up with a moment like this when he steals the CD and then it's in the wrong case? Wasn't that just
right.
I mean, that's a really clever visual way to tell a story. Talk about shorthand.
Yeah.
There's so much in that that he would grab it in the car wash, he'd put it, you know, and then it would be the wrong one, and the way, and then his reaction.
Yeah,
that was fabulous.
Priceless.
That's priceless. That's good filmmaking and good acting.
And he's a great actor. No, and seeing him at the Q&A after the film.
So he was there. Oh,
yeah,
was he gorgeous?
He's darling, but he was like completely. The body language was completely different from the body language in the film. I mean, anyway, it was
so he's a good actor.
Yeah, he's a wonderful,
a wonderful
and
actor.
And he's an innocent. His experience is
well, he had
great.
Some. Yeah, I think George had recognized him, and I recognized him from something.
As his film history you're talking about?
Boy, he's a natural then, because he is really fabulous.
He was good. Yeah. He was really, really good.
Personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
Premature ejaculation?
No. Nancy.
Shooting blanks.
Sorry, Rudy, you were going to say gang member?
Tattoos that have been removed?
My turn.
Yeah, let's all have some wine. Yeah.
Nancy, you know, I used to like you a lot.
Gentrifier? Are you a gentrifier?
What else can we abuse him of?
Moving to California.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. What was I going to say?
What were you going to say? Personal experience. We started out
1989. We used to have a maid in Mexico City who was the maid of maids. She was the queen of maids, right? She didn't like Fatima, by the way. She didn't like her. Later on, she showed it very clearly. She didn't like her. And her daughter was having her... By the way, a quinceañera is a girl, not the party.
Right, the party's
right.
No.
The 15-year-old girl is...
Yes. That's right.
That's what you said.
The celebrant.
The celebrant is the quinceañera. Uh-huh. The party is a party of 15th birthday party. That's what it's called. Quinceaños. So her daughter was having...
Festa de quinceaños.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So her daughter was having a 15th her thing.
her party.
15th
birthday party.
Mm-hmm. And Rafaela talked a little bit about... She invited us. She gave us an invitation. And then one day talking, she said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but the padrino for the dress... Mm-hmm. Went away or left or changed
it
his mind or something. And I thought, I can do that. I said, I'll buy her the dress. Mm-hmm. That was it.
I'll be the padrino.
No, I didn't
say
that. I didn't even think that.
But you were on the adventure.
No, I just said.
What does it mean to be padrino?
Nothing.
To give
to
the
me,
money.
No. It doesn't mean anything like that. And it didn't mean anything to me except that I would pay for the dress. Mm-hmm. Nothing more. And I was a guest at the party. Well, by saying that to her, I found out that the party, that I was a padrino.
Right,
yeah.
That's what
so
I'm saying.
What does that considered you?
It means that you paid for something in the party and that you are a padrino, like a godfather.
I'm from godfather. Yeah.
Godfather is what I mean. So I was asked to lead the main speech. How little did I know? And my speech lasted exactly 17 seconds.
Yeah.
And Fatima was embarrassed because she said, that's not what you do. You have to talk about life and flowering. And flowering and age. I didn't cut it.
Hopefully other padrinos had better. Yeah.
What?
Hopefully the other padrinos had something.
I was the only one program to speak because of the dress.
The dress is major.
I didn't know that.
Because in the movie they said we'll get one of the cousins to padrino the limo. They'll get a different.
And then
I'm going to a wedding this month that has a list of padrinos like Filipino weddings.
But then
many, many padrinos.
But then padrino, in another sense, means just that you you have a special place in the wedding. That's it.
You have a role.
A special spiritual, spiritual connection mm-hmm. with the person. That's it.
And that's the other thing with the padrino thing is that your resources, you know, economically,
yes,
are little. So that's why you have to have all this
right.
padrino.
Right. It takes
in a different environment, the parents pay for everything.
But my brother, now this is my quinceañera. My brother was married in Mexico and to a woman in Mexico. And they did it in the chapel, not the cathedral in Morelia. And there were five people, I think, on my side of the wedding who were designated to be padrinos for the gold coins, for the ring, for a little...
Right. For the,
there's some kind of a chain, whatever.
The lasso.
Lasso.
I just went to a Mexican wedding.
Anyway, there were like five of these responsibilities, but they were handed out to people on our side who didn't know exactly what went with this.
Because they wanted to spread it out.
But that's for the wedding. For the wedding,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
The ceremony.
Yeah.
But that's
all listed.
Well, they had to stand up.
But it doesn't involve money.
Well, the lasso, you actually have to place on.
You have to place it on fiber.
Did it work out okay?
Did what work out okay?
Did the padrinos on your side?
Did they know?
They were told they were going to be the padrino, yeah. So they stood up at their time. Mm-hmm. Okay, now's your time, you know.
And they probably they didn't want it to seem unbalanced that all the padrinos were from her
there
side.
Were, no, in the wedding ceremony, the only padrinos were from our side.
Oh,
her family gave the party, but
and they all had to speak. Say something.
I don't think they had to say anything. They had these symbolic gifts to give.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they were all listed
in like,
a program.
It's like the story of, what's her name, Sleeping Beauty. Mm-hmm. You know, when the what do you call it, the fairies come,
the fairies
are all the godmothers, and they come and they give their gifts. So I felt it was very much like that.
We went to a wedding in Mazatlan last in July during this trip.
Mm-hmm.
And the boy, he's 30-something, but we knew him as a teenager. He, a month or 2 months before the wedding, he asked me if we would sign at the civil wedding. It's called civil, mm-hmm. not religious. And so I said yes, but I didn't know that involved also another kind of status.
Once again, another speech.
So what did that obligate you?
It didn't obligate me to do anything. I just sat at the front. Mm-hmm. row, and I was asked by the judge to sign at the mm-hmm. time it was to have to sign, and so we're witnesses and we're padrinos at the same time. I don't
mm-hmm.
know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I.